It is so good to be here this morning with you. It's been a long time. The last time I spoke in front of this congregation, I was a young guy. Between your last pastors, and that was a long time ago, I'll never forget, I think it was the last morning I was down here, my trip home, I was by myself, and I don't chew gum, but somebody gave me gum after the service that morning, and I was chewing gum on the way home. Probably many of you don't know where I live. I live in Sugar Valley, which is 20 miles to the north, but you have to go west and east to get where I live. So I was going up Route 192, chewing this gum, and it got really old. It was cold out that morning. I rolled the window down, took the gum, bing, out the window, and when I threw the gum out the window, I thought, something's different. I didn't have my glasses. My glasses went out the window with the gum. I stopped. I walked up and down 192. I could not find, I found a guy's checkbook laying in the ditch that he had lost while he was hunting. We got that back to him, but I'd never found my glasses. So it's been memorable. It's been a long time. And like I said, when I was here those many years ago, I was young. But don't pat yourselves on the back. I recognize some of you people, and I know how old you are, too. For our scripture this morning, I have chosen a scripture from the book of Acts. The first chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 12 and read through 26. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of Jesus. James, I'm sorry. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. This became known to the residents of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language Hecadalma, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let this homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and let another take his position as overseer.' So one of the men who had accompanied us during all of the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, 'Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us, which one of these two have you chosen to take the place in this ministry and the apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his holy scriptures. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come into your presence on this day, we pray that your Spirit would be with us, that you would lead us and guide us in a time of study, prayer, contemplation, and yes, celebration. Lord, we pray that all that we do and say here this morning might bring honor and glory to your name and to your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, excuse me, I got a frog down there that just won't go away. This past week has been a busy week for us. You see, and that's the other thing that changed since I've been here last. I have a new wife. Most of you know that my first wife died, and so I married a new wife, and Kim is in your presence. You'll get to meet her later on. But Kim, when I married her, turned me into an RV person. So we have spent the past week at Granger's Fair in Center Hall. I don't know how many of you attend up there, but if you do, you know that they have, is it 1,200, 1,500 campers come in, plus the 900 tents. And so we've been there all week. So I wrote what you're going to hear this morning at the fair. I don't know what's there. You know, I would write between the hot sausage and the funnel cakes. And then I'd go back and write again, and the French fries, the whole works. So I don't know what I have here. No, I don't. When a baby is born... I heard that. When a baby is born, let's say within normal circumstances, we celebrate. We celebrate because the new life brings to us a sense of hope. We look upon the innocent beauty of a new child, and we dream. We dream about the greatness that this child may represent, the great things that this child may mean for humankind, and we celebrate. We celebrate that hope. You see, birth represents something new, and we celebrate new, as we should, because new always means hope. Today, we celebrate a new thing within the Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. Brother Eli, did I get that right, Buffalo Valley now? Yes. He used to correct me a lot when it was just the Buffalo Church of the Brethren, and I always called it Buffalo Valley. Never mind. That's one of our old arguments. But we do. We celebrate something new in this congregation. A pastor who is new to you will begin his ministry here. He will begin his ministry as leader and as Brother Peter put it, overseer. I love that word, overseer, as he starts his role here with you. It's a new thing, and new leadership. New things must be celebrated. But as with anything that's new, some change will happen. Differences will take place. A couple of years ago, I liked to play with vehicles. And I was in a Chevy dealership buying parts for my old S10, which has over 300,000 miles on it now. And as I was buying parts, when I came back out to the showroom floor where I left my wife, I looked at the salesman and I said, "Where's Kim?" "Oh, she's out driving a new car." "Donnie, I don't like you very much anymore." Because I knew that once she got behind the wheel of a new car. Anyhow, she went car shopping and she bought a new car. Now, even though she bought a new car, the same brand and the same model as our old car, this car has a lot of differences. It's a lot different from that old car. And there are things in this car that you have to learn to live with that the other car didn't have. The other car was simple. You turned a key, it started, you put it in gear, and you drove it down the road. That was good enough for me. The new car, however, talks to you. That can get disconcerting at times. It can tell you where to go. And that's not good either. This car, you know, you push a button and it says, "Number, please." You give it a phone number, it dials the phone, and all of a sudden you're talking to the person on the other end. So it does that. It tells you if you have a low tire on the car. It even opens up the garage door for you. You know, you hit a button when you pull in your driveway and the garage door goes up. It's just different. Now, the car itself does the same job that the old one did. It will take you from point A to point B. You know, its purpose is the same. But it does the job in a much different way than the old one did. This car, even I think this car has an attitude. The same thing, sisters and brothers, is going to happen here with your new leadership. Brother Reamer is going to be different than your old leadership. I'm sure that Brother Eric Stau will differ in some ways from any older pastors who you had. And I knew and loved them too. But it's going to be different. In the end, he will do the same job. He is going to transport you from point A to point B. He's going to transport you from the foolish, self-serving ways of the world to the saving grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you're going to have to be patient with him. When you see the differences, and maybe some things you'll like, maybe some things you won't, you're going to have to be patient with him. So my instructions to the congregation, give him a little bit of birth. And receive him, knowing that things may happen in a little bit different way. But give him a chance. Our scripture text for this morning was taken from Acts, that first chapter. And the text relates to us the plight of the apostles immediately following Jesus' ascension. The apostles were suddenly alone. They no longer had Jesus to fall back upon with questions. They no longer could say, "Hey, what are we going to do now?" He was gone. The group of believers, or the church, was starting to grow, and it was growing rather quickly. And the apostles were down one. They had lost Judas. the workload was getting a little heavy. And it was the reactionary Peter, always Peter, that quickly assessed the situation. And when they called a meeting of the apostles, it was he who said, you know, we have to get another person in here to replace Judas. He was one of us. He was given part of the ministry, and now that part of the ministry is not being covered. We need somebody to come into our group and take the role of overseer. The church, as I said, was already growing. Over 100 people were there with the apostles, worshiping with them constantly, and the workload was getting heavy, and Peter said, another needs to take this place. The apostles agreed with Peter, and with the Lord's guidance, they selected another. It was Matthias to replace Judas. You here at Buffalo Valley have sort of done the same thing by selecting Brother Eric to fill the position of overseer in your congregation. However, after listening to Brother Eric's story of how he came to learn about your search for a pastor, I'm not so sure that you as a congregation had much to do with his selection. It sounds to me like maybe the Lord wants Eric here. You know, was it the Lord's guidance that brought Eric back to show his family the place that he had grown up in? Was it the Lord maybe that directed him to visit a family that where he heard this about this church where he worshiped at sometimes when he was a child and their need for a pastor? And then I'm sure it was the Lord that pulled on his inner conscience and said, you know, you better go back and talk to that church. They need you. John, when he wrote his gospel, talked about the last meeting that Jesus had with the apostles. And he was trying to encourage them and to prepare them for what was coming. And in that address, John said this to them. He said, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. I believe that the same thing has happened here with Brother Eric. You have not chosen this congregation, Brother. Where is Eric? I'm looking around here and I'm not seeing him. There he is. You didn't choose this congregation. I believe that the Lord has chosen this congregation for you. So you did not choose me, I chose you. Brother Eric, it is now your responsibility. I've given a charge to the congregation. They must be open to your style of leadership. But Brother Eric, it is now your responsibility to figure out why God has brought you here, why he has moved you from a relatively new congregation to an older congregation that is well-established, although it looks a lot different than the last time I was here, but is well established. This congregation has roots that extend back to the early 1700s. It is built on a solid history of biblical research. This is a congregation that is built on the idea of pietism, peace witness, adult baptism, on the need to serve others. And I know that you do that because I've been to Louisiana with some of you many times. And built on what we call our creed, the teachings of the New Testament. Brother, you must now determine how to fit your young exuberance into this established congregation and be the leader, the overseer that our Lord needs you to be to grow his kingdom here. Paul told Timothy this, Brother Eric. He said, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. As long as you do that, as long as you work hand in hand with God, as long as you seek his wisdom and his guidance through prayer, through study, you will not go wrong. You cannot go wrong as long as you are submissive to the Spirit. God will bless you. God will bless this congregation as long as you work together, as long as you mutually seek God's guidance and listen to that Spirit where he leads. Great things will continue, and I think great things have already happened here, but they will continue to happen here. So all I can say is God bless you in this new challenge, and God bless the Buffalo Valley Church as they strive to follow Christ in this time and place. Amen.
Ah, I knew there was an answer out there. It's good to be with you this morning. It is truly good to be with you this morning because God does work. I know that because this morning, partway here, within a breath, I came of colliding with another vehicle who ran a red light and pulled in front of a pickup truck and I as we were going down the road at about 50, 55 mile an hour. God is truly with us this morning. The first part of my part of this morning will be the receiving of membership of Eric and his family. Normally, the Church of the Brethren does that through baptism. When you're baptized, you automatically become a member of the church, but we also do it by the transfer of membership. And your church office has worked at that. I would suggest, because the family does come from another background, that you, if you have the opportunity, that the family take part in the Church of the Brethren membership classes, so that particularly the children have a better understanding of our polity, of who we are as a church. And so with that in mind, I would like to proceed with the transfer of membership, and I'm going to ask Danita to come forward and share everyone's name and introduce them. And if you would line up, where is the better place? Up here?
Here is fine. Okay. Matt, would you come up too, please?
If you would introduce them, and then we'll ask them some vows.
Yeah. I'd like to invite, yes, Eric, you're coming. Angela is in junior worship. Yeah. If somebody, Stacy will go and get Angela. Yes, thank you. These are, most of the children are going to be under Matt's ministry, at youth ministry, so I wanted him to be part of that. Angela actually is in junior worship, so she'll be here. But Brianna and Matthew and Benjamin and John and then Janet and Eric, would you all come up? Hopefully Angela will be here very soon.
If you'll hand them out once we go through the vows.
And yeah, let's come down here. I think that way it's a little more
She's
space.
Real good at that. I think I'll take a step. I might not be so good at that this morning.
So I'm going to get on the other side. Yeah. Let me get we didn't practice this.
Pardon no, my back here as I talk to these folks. Friends
Georgie.
In Christ,
Angela's
we need one
not
more
here
yet?
Quite yet.
Okay. We're going to do this twice this morning, so we will make sure that they are duly installed as members. I hope it doesn't mean that they have to work harder than you since they get installed
there she
twice.
Is. One up, Angela.
Friends in Christ, you have previously made confession of your faith and have been members of his church in another place. And we rejoice in your decision this morning to come along with Dad and Mom to be pastor of this church. But we rejoice in the fact that you will be becoming members of this church here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. You will become members and you are coveting this morning to have a relationship with these brothers and sisters in Christ. You will worship God in this place. And as you make that next step, I have a question, and I'm just going to ask you to answer as a family. Do you now reaffirm your faith in God and your loyalty to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his gospel? If so, would you answer, yes, I do. As you unite with this church here at Buffalo Valley Church, will you worship, serve, and share in its program, supporting it by your earnest prayers, regular attendance, loyal service, faithful stewardship, as God gives you the strength? If so, answer, with God's help, I will. Do you promise to live and share with this family of God in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joys and pains? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
The congregation, I'm going to ask you to stand because I have some questions of you. As you welcome the Reamer family to this congregation, my question to you is, will you pledge to help them learn this community and to understand better the faith that you all have and that you all practice in this community? Will you pledge to walk alongside of them when they have pain, when they have joys in their family? Will you help them understand and trust our Lord God and walk in Christ's way? Will you do that as their church family? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Reamer family, this congregation has just covenanted to walk with you in Christ's way. Hold them to that, and I look particularly to your father to do that. As members of this church, we bid you welcome to the Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. And on behalf of this congregation, I give you the right hand of fellowship, and I pray that together, you as a family and this church family will show this community who Christ is and how closely he walks with us. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, I give you thanks for this family, for their willingness to leave a familiar place, to come here and to join the brothers and sisters here in this valley. Bless them, help them grow in understanding who you are and who you want them to be, and how you will help them share their love for our Lord Jesus Christ in this community. These things we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. As I welcome you, Brother Matt is going to follow me with your membership certificate. Welcome to Buffalo Valley Church. Welcome to Buffalo Valley. Welcome. Welcome, sister.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to Buffalo Valley. Welcome, brother. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask Eric and Janet, if you will, to join me, and Danita as well. You may be seated. Eric wondered what an installation service was. And I said, oh, it's just something we do in the Church of the Brethren. As I share with you, I have some vows, and I'll give you some clues to those vows. And I think, Ken, I'm going to ask Duke, would you give me that top pal? My husband asked me this morning, he says, since you do this twice, does that mean they didn't do the vows right the first time, or what? But we'll work at this in piecemeal. I have two pals for you, so we'll do one now and one later. The Church of the Brethren through the history has embraced the concept of the believer's church and the priesthood of all believers. Thus, when persons are baptized or their membership is transferred here, as the Reamer families was, they are ordained into the ministry of the Church of the Brethren. To assist the members in the church in this shared ministry, the Church of the Brethren calls both men and women to special tasks within the church, to tasks of set apart ministry. Such persons are recognized as having the gifts and training that qualify them for special leadership and responsibilities. These gifts may include preaching, teaching, counseling, evangelism, administration, and other specialized services in the church's life. Today, I celebrate with you, the Buffalo Valley congregation, this important moment in your life as a church, as we install a person to lead you in ministry to serve as your lead pastor. You have called Brother Eric Reamer to be a servant in the name of Christ in this place for this time. And as Brother Ken said, to take you from where you are now to new places. And I think only God knows where he will lead Brother Reamer to lead you. As we begin that process, I have some vows to ask Eric and Janet. I'll get to yours a little later. Okay. Eric, you have been called to be pastor of this congregation here at Buffalo Valley, and you have accepted that call. My question to you is, do you believe that this call and your acceptance of it are in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Will you be constant in prayer, a faithful interpreter of the Scripture, a pursuer of the truth, a proclaimer of the Word, and as it is understood and practiced by the Church of the Brethren? If so, answer, yes, I will.
Yes, I will.
Will you attempt to live honestly, openly, and justly with your brothers and sisters here at Buffalo Valley and in this community? Will you seek to be sensitive to the needs of each person? Will you work diligently to fulfill your assigned responsibilities as lead pastor? And will you represent this congregation to the wider community in a way that will embody the teachings of the New Testament? If so, answer, yes, I will.
Yes, I will.
My charge to you as your district executive. Eric, I charge you in the presence of God and of these people to be faithful to the vows which you have just taken. Let the words addressed to Timothy be spoken to you also. Proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince. Rebuke. Rebuke, brothers and sisters. I've just given him the authority to do that. Encourage them with the utmost patience in your teaching. Always be sober. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist and carry out your ministry fully. May God give you the Holy Spirit for the work of ministry now committed to you in this congregation. Remember this, God did not give you a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And to you, my sister, will you, as Eric's wife, not his husband, as Eric's wife, will you walk beside him, hold him up when maybe some times get rough, pray with him, be a partner in ministry with him in the ways that God has gifted you. That will involve relationships with these people here. It will involve an enduring relationship with Brother Eric. It will involve patience. It will involve flexibility. Given the nature of the calling of a pastor, my question to you is, are you willing to support Eric as he ministers here in this community? If so, answer, yes, I will.
Yes, I will.
Thank you. To you, the congregation, again, you are not left out in this. You have called Brother Eric as your pastor, as your lead pastor here, and he has responded affirmatively to that call. He has promised to perform faithfully the responsibilities of the ministry here as lead pastor. It is your responsibility to give Eric your loyal support, undergird him with his work through your prayers, grant him the freedom to be the person God has created him to be. Encourage him in the expression and use of the gifts that God has given him. Be with him a mutual seeker of the truth, a learner of the way, and a co-worker in the kingdom. Appreciate the heritage of the Church of the Brethren in recognizing the freedom of the pulpit. In other words, God has called him to this place to remind you of the pathway that God expects each one of us to follow. Be a good employer to your pastors, and I will say plural, exercising fairness and honesty in all agreements with them. My question to you is, do you now pledge your support and your full cooperation to Brother Eric, as he has been called here to be your lead pastor? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Brother Eric, I would like to welcome you to the Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. And I would like to share with you that in the name of the Christ, Jesus Christ, and by the authority of the Southern Pennsylvania District Church of the Brethren, I now affirm that you are officially installed as the pastor, officially till the next time, of this congregation. May God bless this new relationship that you will have as a pastor and as a family with the brothers and sisters in this community. They are a good bunch. They're different, but they're a good bunch. I would like at this point to ask Brother Eli Brian, and I believe there's a deacon chair, to come forward, and if there's any others that I've asked to have a laying on of hands. And while they're coming forward, I'm going to present to you the first packet, some more books for you to read.
Good, good.
Do you want to kneel or just want to stand behind them?
It doesn't matter. You guys are a lot taller than I am. I'm probably
Why don't we just surround them?
Kneeling.
Surround them from the back, and I'll surround them over here. And if you'll lay hands on them so that we all connect. Brother Eli, I'm going to ask that you begin, or someone begin a prayer.
Get the microphone down there for us, please.
Okay. Is there more than one that wants to pray?
I think so.
Okay. I'm going to ask that whoever is the last one, let me know, so I will end the prayer. Will you pray with us, please?
Oh, God. Oh God, we are so grateful that you have brought Eric to be with us as our pastor. And we pray that he feel and have the freedom to bring us prophetic messages. That he tell us of your love. That he guide us in serving you. I pray that when we need to be comforted, he will have that pastoral touch. And that in all things, we will share together this love that you have in Jesus Christ.
Father, you have been faithful in bringing Eric to us and his family, and we are so blessed. We gather around him, laying our hands upon him, asking for the Holy Spirit to empower him, to give him the grace and the acceptance in your name to be able to carry forward your power and your strength to these people. Lord, just thank you for the way that you have moved in our midst, that you have provided us with exactly what we need at this time and this place. And it's in Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives, and we thank you especially for this family that you've called to join us as a congregation. You know, the last 4 weeks have been a whirlwind, and there are many changes to come, and as they endure each and every change, we don't ask for it to be easy. We don't ask it for it to be a bed of roses, but we do ask that you're with us in each and every time and each and every place, and that you would let us be your reflection as a congregation, as families each, and as a pastor's family.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for hope, because it's in hope that our faith and love are found, and we just pray for that hope that binds us together with Eric and Janet and their family, and as a body of believers, that you would strengthen us, that you would bind us together. I pray especially for Eric, that he would have the knowledge of your will, and that will would be made known to us.
Yes.
And Lord, we just pray for spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that as Eric leads us and as we share together in the ministry here, it will be transformational. That we will not be satisfied with mediocrity, but will sense, Lord, the passion that you're calling us to, and that you will help Eric to just relate that to us and walk with us as we pursue what you have in store for us here at Buffalo Valley. Lord, it's an exciting time, and just thank you so much for the opportunity and for where we are today.
Holy and merciful God, you have created each one in this congregation. And you have created this brother and sister who come to us this morning. And we truly believe your hand is in this effort. Gracious God, by whom all people are called to give service through the church, we ask your blessing upon the covenant that we have made together this morning as pastor and as people. We ask your blessing that you will walk with Brother Eric as he serves this congregation as lead pastor. You will ask. We ask that you would bless the ministry of Eric, of Danita, and Matt in this body. Holy God, I thank you so much for the ministry that is happening in this community, for the example that the brothers and sisters share in this community, and I pray are willing to share with the wider district of Southern Pennsylvania to know who Christ is and to follow more closely the example that he has given for us. We thank you, God, for the calling to ministry that comes to all and each one of us. And on this day, we are especially glad and thankful for the calling to pastoral ministry. Be a source of strength and power to Brother Eric, to whom we have now installed. Endow him with the gifts of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Bind him and his family to the hearts of each member of this congregation. Impart to him wisdom and courage to deal with problems and difficulties, as well as humility in experiencing success and blessings in ministry here. May we all live and work together within the family of faith so that we will be able to bear witness to the presence and the power of your kingdom among us, gracious God. And as each of us share in the Lord's Prayer, I ask the congregation to stand and join with us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brother Eric, welcome to the pastoral team of Southern Pennsylvania and the pastor of this congregation.
Thank you.
Sister,
thank
welcome.
You,
you have a few moments to share.
Oh, I thought this was when I got to preach my sermon.
No.
All right.
You may be seated. You may be seated.
Brother Ken, thank you so much. I look forward to getting to know you better over the next year, and then hopefully from years on. And in the context of what you said today, I promise never to tell you where to go. All right. instead, together, I want to discern from God where we are and where we need to go as we go on that journey together. You have been so gracious to us. I wrote on my blog this morning that God brought the words of 2 Chronicles chapter 1 to me when Solomon goes before the Lord. Now, the analogy breaks down. I'm certainly not a king, but you have certainly treated us royally ever since we've been here. But Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge, because Solomon said that he could not on his own lead the great people of God. And that's exactly how I feel this morning. On my own, not a chance. I can't lead this great congregation, this great local body of believers. So I ask that you would pray for me and my family, that we would receive, that I would receive the wisdom and the knowledge that God has for me. And a little commercial, next week, we begin a 3-week series looking at that vision statement right there, how together we will passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Jesus Christ. So I hope to see you next Sunday as well. I'm done.